Director of Homeland Security Tom Ridge said today that al-Qaeda terrorists are seeking weapons of mass destruction and would readily deploy them in this country if they had the chance. Speaking on NBC's Meet the Press, Ridge said the terrorists considered attacks on the United States a religious duty.
We know because of the very evil nature of the enemy that there are other things that they could do to undermine our system and to bring horror and destruction in the United States. That's why we focus on weapons of mass destruction, but we also have to worry about a variety of other things.
When President Bush appointed Ridge to his post last October, the president said it was essential, quote, to develop and coordinate a comprehensive national strategy to strengthen protections against terrorist threats or attacks in the United States. Ridge says all Americans are now engaged in that struggle, but it's state and local authorities who have had to bear much of the burden of implementing the new security measures. Here to talk about how those authorities are responding are three journalists who cover Homeland Security: Jim Wright, editor with the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, Ralph Ranalli, a reporter with the Boston Globe, and Bob Malberg of the Orlando Sentinel. Welcome, gentlemen. Hello.
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 Jim Wright, let's start with you. This alert has been a big story in Washington State, because of reports that the Space Needle might have been identified by al-Qaeda as a possible target. How much do you know about that?
It started on Wednesday with a report that they had found a laptop computer in the Tora Bora area with at least one and probably more photographs of Seattle on it. It set off quite a firestorm. The governor on Wednesday, though, did the right thing. He called a press conference and basically said, look, photos were found, but we don't know what that means. We don't know if there's an attack. We don't know why they had them. And it's kind of continued throughout the week with more disclosures of more information, everything from dams, maybe in the Northwest, to the rumored plot to crash a jetliner into a nuclear plant. The consensus seems to be, among all of our sources, this was material that was collected as research. Maybe it was going to be used. They don't know. There's nothing that has a definitive timeline or even any kind of an operational plan. They're just pictures. And in fact, they're pictures of things that you would find on tourist postcards.
Bob Malberg of the Orlando Sentinel, in Florida, tourism has been down since September 11th, and authorities have to be concerned about the potential of terrorist activity there. Is there a balance to be struck between warning the public and scaring off tourists? Have they struck that balance?
The balancing act is one of the key things that we've really seen in terms of legislation in the Florida legislature. There's a lot of bills that have been brought forward to try to deal with the threat, and striking that balance has sometimes been pretty interesting. I just moved to Florida in October, and one of the first stories that I wrote about was some legislation that would require school kids to start every day by saying the Pledge of Allegiance. So you have people that are in some cases bringing up all kinds of things and linking them to, you know, we need this for the sake of better security, or get swept up in, you know, the patriotism of the moment.
Well, Ralph Ranalli in Boston, there's been a lot of concern about security at Logan Airport. What has been done there? Has security been improved?
Security has been improved, but it's been handicapped somewhat by the fact that you have these FAA and federal rules that sort of conflict sometimes with what the state officials on the ground want to do, and the airlines still run the screening checkpoints, and it's not a perfect system. Well, they did hire a fellow named Rafi Ron, the Logan Airport officials. He ran Ben Gurion Airport in Tel Aviv for the previous 5 years before coming over here to be a security consultant at Logan.
Jim, what about border security in the Northwest? Do you think the federal government has done enough to beef up the border patrol?
Well, that's a basis of longstanding complaints here. Even before September 11th, there were complaints that there weren't enough border guards on the northern border. We do have the distinction of being the only place where a actual terrorist was arrested coming across our border carrying bomb-making materials. That said, that they have been bringing more people back in. About two or three weeks ago, they said they were sending 21 more Border Patrol agents north. We're actually sending customs officials into Canada to screen materials coming into Canadian ports as a first line of defense.
Bob, in Florida, Governor Jeb Bush has said he wants to spend $13 million shoring up security there. Where is that money going to come from?
Well, it comes from a variety of sources. They are tapping certain trust funds and things, but a majority of the states, for the first time in a decade, are really struggling with their budget situations this year.
This is Ralph in Boston. I think what we're trying to figure out here, the state security officials are trying to figure out, is to find a level of what you might call sustainability for this. And one interesting thing that they're doing is they're gearing up to train thousands and thousands of local police officers in spotting things that may be sort of a thread that you could follow to unravel some sort of, you know, terrorist plot or terrorist cell, you know, sort of the starting points. So what you're in effect doing is you're taking this existing pool of tens of thousands of local police and EMS and firefighters in Massachusetts, and you're making them sort of into the on-the-ground eyes and ears of this anti-terrorism effort.
Well, Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld said, you know, we're going to have to stay on guard for years, possibly. So, Jim and Bob, what do you think about this level of vigilance, whether it's possible long-term and whether it's going to be affordable?
Well, here in Seattle, we're seeing a institutionalization of a lot of the kind of security measures that Ralph was talking about. I take a ferry boat to work every morning, and for months there were state patrol troopers patrolling the boats, watching every car as they came aboard. Then the overtime money ran out. But what they've done is the ferry workers, who are basically boat people, they're deckhands and things like that, have taken on something of a security role where they now walk through where the troopers were doing it before and look at every car.
Here in Florida, we're seeing a lot of the same kind of thing. It kind of seems to ebb and flow. There's a certain amount of funding that's available for it, and that seems to be increasing. But you have, at the same time, situations where there'll be a buildup and then they'll back off. At the state capitol itself, they had a huge buildup right after September 11th, and then after time, it kind of was waned somewhat, and some of the state lawmakers even complained that they couldn't get access to their offices, and some of the guards and things kind of backed off. So a certain amount of it seems to kind of react to whatever is going on at the moment as well.
Bob Mahlberg of the Orlando Sentinel, Jim Wright, editor with the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, and Ralph Ranalli, law enforcement policy reporter for the Boston Globe and the author of Deadly Alliance, a book about the FBI's informant programs. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.